Welcome to Lifehouse Church Online. To know more about our senior pastors, head to the Lifehouse website. We hope you enjoy the service.
Yes, this is the last week of Winning the War in Your Mind series, and I'm speaking on a subject today that I'm very passionate about. This series comes from Pastor Craig Groeschel's book, Winning the War in Your Mind, which is phenomenal. And I just think we've heard some incredible messages off this platform that you can see on our YouTube page, and you can go back and watch them after this. But hey, we're going to dive into the Word. I'd love to pray for us before we start. So from wherever we are, come on, let's close our eyes, let's bow our heads, let's believe for God to do something great this morning. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather and to be with you this morning. Lord, although we are apart in person, God, we make a decision to stay united as a church, united together in spirit. And Lord, this morning, we just want to declare our love for you again. We just want to tell you how grateful we are and how much we love you this morning, Lord. And I just pray for every eye to be opened, every ear to be opened to what you are wanting to say today, God. As I preach this message, Lord, would we not just hear another message, Lord, but we would actually take some of the principles we're going to unpack and actually apply them to our lives, Lord. And we just ask for your hand to be on this message. And every person said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I also just want to throw on the end of that prayer, Lord, Carlton Football Club, help us. In Jesus' name, God bless you, David Teague, wherever you are this morning. Well, the title of my message this morning, to close out our series, is called Calm My Anxious Mind. Calm My Anxious Mind. If you're on the YouTube or Facebook comments right now, type that in the chat, Calm My Anxious Mind. If you're sitting next to someone, give them a massive slap and say, Calm My Anxious Mind. You see, I believe that we are living in the day and age of anxiety. We're living in the age of anxiety. Do you know how I know that? It's because all you have to do is jump on your Facebook feed and go for a little bit of a scroll, and you would see that there is a lot of worry and anxiety and articles getting posted. I mean, just watch 7 News or 9 News and you would see that nobody's reporting on good news stories. In fact, everybody's reporting on the stories that actually bring fear. And because that's the thing that's getting them clicks, it's getting them viewers. And it's so sad that that is the world we're living in. We are living in the day and age of anxiety. I mean, I heard a statistic last week that Lifeline Australia had the single most phone calls ever come in one day. They had 3,300 phone calls come to their hotline last Thursday because we are living in this day and age of anxiety. With the madness that's going around our world right now, I just think it's so important that we talk about this subject of calming our anxious mind. I mean, it's even a miracle, to be honest, that I'm standing up in front of you today. You ask Madeline, I had some sleepless nights even this week thinking about getting up in front of a camera and preaching this message if I'm completely real with you this morning. I mean, I don't know what it is for you, but I know that each and every one of us, if we would look into our lives, there is things that are concerning you. There's anxieties, there's worries, there's pressures that are settling in on your mind and in your heart. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're finding your kids are hanging out with the wrong people. Maybe you're worried about their social life. Maybe they're spending a bit too much time isolated in their bedroom. Other people, it's you're up at 3 a.m. worrying about your business or your financial future. I don't know what it is for you this morning. Maybe you've got sick family members. I don't know. But you know what I do know? It is not God's purpose or plan for our life to be gripped with fear and to be gripped with anxiety. In fact, it's God's plan for our life that we would live in the freedom and the peace and the joy that He has for you and I this morning. If you believe that, type amen in the chat. I honestly believe that this morning. God's purpose for us is that we would live in the freedom. You know, my Bible and your Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Of power, love, and a sound mind. And you know what this morning? We're going to unpack this message. We're going to talk about a couple of things, but I'm honestly hoping and I'm believing and I've been praying that as I unpack this message, that we would take these things on board and that we'd actually implement them into our lives and see breakthrough come through. That we wouldn't be, you know what? The enemy would love for you to be walking around with an anxious mind. The enemy would love to have your mind gripped with fear, but you know what? We're going to listen to what the Word of God says. We're going to listen to what our God says and has for each and every one of our lives in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. So we're going to unpack three questions. Everybody say three questions. Three questions to ask ourselves when anxiety attacks. Okay, three questions. I'm going to jump straight into the first one because I promise you, I have applied these three principles to my life. I'm actively trying to live by that. And I don't want to get into it, but I have had my fair share of anxieties in my lifetime. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking out of experience this morning. I'm speaking out of a place where I have done this and actually seen this work in my own life. And I'm believing that this could be your story this morning in Jesus' name. The first question we need to ask ourselves when anxiety attacks is what I'm thinking right now actually the truth? Is it actually the truth? Is it the fact? Or is it just my emotion and my mind playing games? You see, the thing is our minds, they are so powerful. Our minds are so powerful. You know what actually happens when we get a thought of anxiety? What happens? It comes into our mind. And for some of us, we like create these mini movies in our brains. We create these movies. I mean, some of you are making like Hollywood blockbusters in your mind of all the what ifs. Like, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And our mind's so powerful that it races and it runs. And some of you deserve Academy Awards, actually. That's how epic the movies are going on in your mind. You see, because the mind is so powerful. Let me just teach you a little bit this morning. I want to turn into your science teacher for a moment of something that's been blowing my mind reading it this week. I'm going to talk about what actually happens in your brain when anxiety attacks. What actually happens in our mind? You know, our brains, they have this thing. It's about the size of an almond in your brain. It's a portion of your brain called the amygdala. Everybody say amygdala. Amygdala. It's the part of your brain that is responsible for anxiety. It's the part of your brain that says panic and flick into emergency mode. It's hardwired to protect and it's very easily triggered. Very easily triggered. It's the part of your brain that at 3 a.m. when somebody breaks into, when you hear something happening in your kitchen, it's the part of your brain that says somebody is in my kitchen with a knife. That's what it says. That's what your amygdala does. When you see someone on the freeway in the lane next to you put their blinker on and you have that mini freak out and you just, whoa, and you start speaking in tongues out your window, right? It's that moment, that is what the amygdala does. It flicks into panic mode. And it's I don't know for you, but for me, I hate snakes, I hate birds, and I hate spiders, right? I hate all of those things with a burning passion, okay? But snakes especially. And there was this one time, and you've heard me preach about it before, but I was on the Murray River, and we were getting towed behind a boat on a biscuit, and a brown snake made its way across the water. And it stuck its head up, and it looked at me dead in the eye from about half a meter away, put its little black tongue out at me, and in that moment, my amygdala was going berserk. It was going crazy. I actually was like, I'm going to meet Jesus today. I am meeting Jesus today. Because my amygdala was going absolutely crazy. But then there's this part of our brain, it's called the prefrontal cortex. Everybody say prefrontal cortex. That is the part of our brain that is responsible for logical thinking. It's responsible for when the amygdala is going crazy, the prefrontal cortex says, relax, everything's all good. And that's what happens in our minds when there's this war waging, right? Now, I have an amygdala in my brain. But I also live with my wife, Madeline, who I have since nicknamed the Amagdalene. She is the Amagdalene. She is so funny. She jumps to conclusions like you have never seen someone jump to a conclusion. I mean, I got to tell you this story about last week. It's so hilarious. We were at the Queen Vic Market doing our shopping. I mean, we moved a little bit closer to the city, so it's in our 5Ks. And we thought, let's go and enjoy the sunshine. Let's do our shopping. So we went, we come home, everything's all good. But a friend that knew we were there had sent both of us a text message saying there was a tier 2 exposure site at the Vic Market. And so I was like, oh my goodness, what's this going to mean? So I went on my phone, I went on the website, and I found out that we weren't even there at the same time as this person at the exposure site, right? But Madeline comes home half an hour later, and it was like she booted the door down and says, "Tim, I have COVID." She says, "I have COVID." And she starts panicking and she goes, "I thought that when I was eating my shapes before I couldn't taste them." And she's, "I'm going to infect everybody." And she was going crazy. And then me, the prefrontal cortex, the wise, the husband, the supportive husband, sits her down and says, "Darling, come, sit on the couch." I said it like that too. "Darling, come, do you want a tea? What do you want?" And I said, "Babe, it's okay. We weren't there at the same time. Everything's all good. Everything's going to be okay." And she went and got a COVID test and everything. It was all good, right? It was all good. But the point of my story is that we laugh at that. But actually, that is actually a picture of what happens in our brain. It's a picture when anxiety pokes its head out and says, "Hello, pay me attention. I'm here. Give me all your worry. Give me all your thought." It's actually, we have to get really good at grabbing our amygdala by the scruff of the neck and holding it up against the wall and saying, "I am not going to bow down to what you're saying. I am not going to be listening. What you're saying is irrational. What you're saying is not actually the truth." And so when we find ourselves in this time where anxiety starts to grip us, we have to ask ourselves the question, is what I'm actually thinking about right now, is it the truth? It's such a simple thought, but I promise you it's something that we neglect to do a lot of the time. Is what I'm thinking actually truth? Because I need you to hear this point. Get it tattooed on you, something, I don't know, put it as your wallpaper. Listen to this. If it's not true, it's not worth your peace. If it's not true, it's not worth your peace. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, come on, give him a round of applause. Very true, I believe. It's not worth your peace. You know, Philippians chapter 4 is a scripture in the Bible that I absolutely love. And it's from verse 6, and we're going to read it. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead," what does it say? "Pray about everything." Prayer is so powerful. So, so powerful. We're going to talk about how powerful prayer is in a little bit. But I love what this goes on to say in verse 8. It goes on to say, "Fix your thoughts on what is what? It's what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable." The Bible is saying here, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything, but pray. But don't just pray, also think about things that are true. So when your amygdala in your brain wants to create a mini movies of what if, we have to get really good at asking, hang on a second. We got to stop ourselves, take a deep breath and say, is what I'm processing right now the truth, or is this my brain running wild? We have to ask ourselves that question and read Philippians 4 where it says, think about things that are true. In Jesus' name. The second question that we need to ask ourselves when anxiety pops its head up is, what is in my control? What is in my control? Because sometimes there's things that happen. I mean, a lot of the time things happen in our lives and they actually are true. But then the next question comes is, you've got to ask yourself, what's in my control in this situation? What is it? I mean, let me tell you a story about last year in lockdown. I was having some issues with my stomach. I was bleeding. I had some internal bleeding. And I walked around for a month, for 6 weeks, and I was just panicking about what this could have been. I mean, I was losing sleep over it. I had such an anxious mind about what this could have been. I even went on WebMD. Now, you all know, right?
<You're dead. laughs>
You either got cancer or you're dead, right, when you go on WebMD. That's it. There's two scenarios. That's it. Don't ever turn to Dr. WebMD. He's not going to give you the result you're looking for. Actually, he's going to diagnose you with things that you don't even knew existed, right? New diseases with new words, right? But I was walking around like this with so much anxiety inside of me. I would tell Madeline, I would complain to my parents. I was going through the whole thing. And I actually went to the prayer corner at church because it got this anxiety about this sickness got so bad. Shame on me that I turned to prayer last. Shame on me that prayer was my last line of defense rather than my first line of offense. It wasn't the first thing I turned to. But I went to the prayer corner and I spoke to someone who I highly respect in my life. And I came up and I explained it. And I said, look, this is what's going on. I'm losing sleep over this thing. I'm not sure what's happening. And you know what? The first question that this person asked me is, have you gone and seen a doctor? And it sounds so silly, and I felt so stupid. I was like a deer in headlights. And I thought to myself, I haven't actually gone and seen a doctor yet. And see, I was so caught up, and I wanted to make an issue so spiritual when really I had full control over going to the doctor, getting him in my car, booking an appointment. And we got to be careful that we're not over-spiritualizing some of the things that are attacking our minds. We have to be careful. No doubt that that's a reality of it and that's true, but you are in control of a lot more than you think. And something I realize about anxiety is that it has so much more to do with what's going on in my brain rather than what's happening in the exterior world around me. You know, my mum told me this quote one day, and I'll never forget it. I was a young kid, and she said to me, you know what, Tim? God is powerful. He is miraculous. He can work miracles. In fact, God can move mountains, but you need to bring your shovel. God can move the mountain, but you got to play your part. And I think that, and I know these first two questions have been very practical, but the reality is that we have a lot to do with this as well. And if we want God to move the mountain, we can have all the faith in the world, but come on, bring your shovel. Come on, do your part. Go and see the doctor. Maybe for you, you find that when these anxious thoughts come, going for a walk helps, or getting some fresh air, or maybe it's changing your diet. Maybe it's sleeping. I don't know, changing a sleeping pattern. Maybe it's seeing a psychologist. Maybe it's just debriefing with someone in your world. I don't know. You've got to find what works for you. When the anxiety comes, and I'm going to flipperoo this mic. When anxiety comes, what we need to do is ask ourselves the question, what is in my control? What is in my control? Sorry, I just lost my train of thought there for a second. God can move mountains, but bring your shovel. You know, for me, I found myself a couple of weeks ago super caught up, super anxious at the very same time every night. And I was wondering, I was trying to figure out what it was, and I was praying to God, saying, God, I've got these feelings of anxiety. I don't know what's going on. And I actually, once I stripped it all back and I went through the process, is what I'm thinking true? Yes, it is. Okay, then what is in my control? And I figured out that the thing that was in my control was actually watching the news. I found that every time I watched the news at night, I found myself anxious about my future. I found my mind under attack. Will this ever happen? Will I ever be able to leave the country? Am I ever going to be able to do this? What's going to happen if we go to another lockdown? And I know this is very real for a lot of us right now. There's a lot of people out there, you want to dream about your future, you want to dream about your business, about your family, but right now we're in this position where it's like, I don't know what's going on. There's so much anxiety around our future. And for me, I figured out that it was actually watching the news. It was in my control. And you know what? The day I stopped watching the news, I unfollowed all the news outlets on Facebook, and I just got it. I stopped reading the newspaper. I promise you, anxiety about my future went. It was disappeared overnight. My anxiety was gone because I took something, not overly spiritual, just super practical, in my control, and said, God, I want you to move the mountain. I want you to get rid of my anxiety, but I'm going to bring my shovel. What does that mean? I had to get up and I had to unfollow the news outlets, mate, throw them out the window because it was filling me with anxiety and fear. It was filling me with all this anxiety. So just to recap, the first thing we need to do, ask ourselves, is it true? The second thing, is it in my control? And the third thing we need to do, the question we need to ask ourselves, is, have I prayed about this? Have I prayed about this? Prayer is so powerful, friends. We can't neglect the power of what our prayer can do. In fact, prayer is so powerful, I have seen it time and time and time again come through for me. Getting on my knees before the power of God and saying, God, I need you to move in my life. Prayer is so, so powerful. And you know what? We read this in Philippians chapter 4 just before, but I'm going to read it to you, this passage, the same passage from the Message version, because it puts it so beautifully here, and I encourage you to go and read it again after this message. And Paul actually finds himself in a Roman prison. He's written this letter to the church of Philippi, and I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like Paul a little bit in this season of life. I kind of feel like I'm a little bit surrounded by some prison walls in this lockdown in Melbourne. I don't know if you're feeling the same thing at home, but I love Paul's response and what he says here. And he says in verse 6, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. And let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns." How many of you are grateful that our God actually cares? He actually cares about what you're facing this morning. In fact, just a little bit of a side note, some of you this morning, you think that your anxieties aren't valid because there's bigger issues going on in the world. You think because of what's going on overseas and in Afghanistan and in all these places, your fear and your anxiety and worry about your life, you feel for some reason it's invalid. Let me just tell you, our God has the capacity to care. Just because there's human beings who don't have the emotional capacity to carry and to synthesize what you're feeling, our God is big. Our God is strong. Our God has time in His calendar for you this morning. But would you make time for Him in prayer? Would you make time for Him in prayer? It goes on to say, "Do these things and before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down." Man, what a great scripture. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Think about that for a second. In the NIV version, it says, "And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your mind and guard your heart." Beautiful scripture. It goes on to say in verse 8, "Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you have seen and heard and realize. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies." What a powerful scripture. God will work you into one of His most excellent harmonies. You know, I was thinking about that word harmonies. Harmony, what does that actually mean? And you know, in music, harmony is when you get a single note here and another single note here, and they come together in the same key and in unison, and they create this beautiful and pleasing sound. Creates this beautiful, pleasing sound. You know what happens when we bring our cares and our worries before God? We come into perfect harmony with Him, with His purpose for our life. When fear wants to grip you, when it wants to tell you how to behave and what to go through your mind, it's when we come into His most excellent harmonies is when we see the peace of God come and flood our mind and flood our heart. So, so powerful. I was wondering why they used the word harmonies here. And after I read that, I realized, you know what, God's purpose, what God wants to do is actually come alongside of you. He cares for you this morning. You might be sitting there this morning and saying, "Tim, this all sounds great in theory, but you have no idea about the anxieties that I face. You have no idea how deep and dark this is for me." And that's the truth. I actually don't know, but you know who does know? God. He knows and He cares, and He's going to validate the feelings, but He wants to see you live in the peace and the fulfillment He has for you. We've got to pray, friends. We've got to pray. If it isn't true, you got to figure out, is it true? And if it's not, is it in my control? And if it's not in your control, you got to pray. We got to pray. And we've got to get before God and get His power behind us in Jesus' name. You know, I've been in a place in my life where I have faced anxiety on my own. And let me tell you, I know it is a dark and lonely place. But you know what? When you come into this unity with God, just something shifts. Your mindset of life just changes. You get a skip in your step, a hop in your step, and you just feel like the things that were worrying me are no longer worrying me because you have God carrying the burden with you in Jesus' name. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, just to strengthen that point, it says this. It says in verse 7, "Give all your worries and cares to God." Why? Because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. Goes on to say, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith and remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are." You know, if you're facing anxiety about this season that you're in, let me just tell you, you're not alone. We're in this together. Come on, better days are coming, friends. They're coming. And we can have all the anxieties about the future, but I want you to know deep down in your heart, we're in this thing together. We're going to see it through to the other side. You have a church family. You have senior pastors. You have people in your life who love you and care for you. They're on the journey with you. And we have access to support networks. We have access to doctors, psychologists. We can put you in touch with grow groups. And we can do all these things, but we want you to reach out and realize you're not doing it alone. We are in this thing together. We're in the thick of it together. God cares for you so much, friend. He loves you so much. And His plan for our life is not that we would be gripped, but that we would walk in true freedom and clarity of mind in Jesus' name. I want to end on this point, something that I read, and the band can come and join me as I, not jokes, there's nobody in this room, but I want to end on this point, something about prayer that I read from Dr. Caroline Leaf. What an amazing, it was such an amazing quote. In fact, it's going to be on the screen for you. And prayer not only moves the heart of God, in fact, prayer is so powerful that it can change chemistry in your brain. Did you know that? You know, Dr. Caroline Leaf says in her book, Switch On Your Mind, she says, it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain so much that it can be seen on a brain scan. That is the power of prayer. Friends, we can't neglect the power of what prayer can do for us in our lives. Prayer is powerful and God cares. Come on, would you bring your concern to Him this morning? What is it that's weighing you down this morning, friend? What is it for you? Ask yourself the question. Look deep into your heart and say, what is it? God, I'm going to give it to you. Is it true? Is it in my control? And Lord, I'm going to give it to you in prayer. You know what, if we were to apply these three things to our life, if we were to find ourselves in moments of anxiousness, saying, God, I'm so anxious and everything's so irrational around me and all I can think about is my anxiety, if we would stop and take a deep breath and just calm our thoughts for a second and say, okay, is it true? Is it in my control? And have I prayed about it? I promise you, friends, I've seen this work time and time and time and time and time and time again in my life. It has been the saving grace for my life. And you know what? After doing all this, I just feel like my mind has been set free. It has been set free from anxiety because I've given my worry to God and I've followed these three steps in my life in Jesus' name. And you know, I want to pray for every person out there this morning where you're struggling with anxious thoughts about your future, about anything. I don't know what it is you're anxious about right now. I just really believe that the peace of God's going to enter your home right now. I believe as you open your heart, you open your concern toward God and you look heavenward and say, God, come and flood my heart with peace. I believe He's going to move this morning. I believe you're going to have that defining moment this morning where God's peace is just going to flood your heart in Jesus' name. If that's you from wherever you are, would you close your eyes and bow your head? I'd love to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I just bring before you every person on the other side of this camera, Lord, who may be facing, may be staring down the barrel of anxiety. Lord, I just pray now in the name of Jesus that you would break all anxiety. Lord, we believe you are all powerful. You are the healer. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. Lord, you know our body better than we do it. You know our body better than doctors do, better than psychologists do, God. You are our creator. And right now we ask that you would come and you would shed light in dark places, God. I pray that you would come and we would step into complete unity with you, creating a beautiful harmony with our lives. Lord, that we wouldn't walk around being gripped with anxiety and fear, but we would be walking around like a sweet melody, the sweet melody of heaven where nothing is going to overwhelm me. In fact, I'm going to think, is it true? Is it in my control? And have I prayed about it? And we're going to bring it before you in prayer. God, we just cast our anxiety over to you this morning. Lord, we understand you care. Lord, we know that you love us. We know that it's not your plan for us to be gripped with fear. And right now, come on, I really just feel like some of you actually got to hold this thing in your hand. You got to release it. You got to hold it. You got to release it. You got to grab it out of your heart. You got to grab it off your mind. And you got to literally drop it before you. Drop that thing. Those thoughts can no longer dominate your mind, says the Lord. Those anxieties, those worries, it's not worth your peace. And Father, I just pray that you would seal this message on everybody's heart. on every person who's in the face of anxiety, in the face of worry and fear, I pray that you would seal this message in their hearts and in their minds, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.